Well, hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. I'm sitting here with Mr. Stephen Patton, and Stephen's a math guru at Tellico Plains High School, where I've been teaching the past 15 years, wrapping it up myself right now, but he's going to hang on there, I think. He's a brilliant guy. God's given him an incredible brain, and that's been true for a long time. I think he was valedictorian back at Tellico in 1996, I believe it was. And he's been teaching there for, what, 13 years, I guess now, 12 years. He's established a reputation that's not just at Tellico, but kind of far and wide as a math teacher par excellence. I mean, it's incredible what his results have been. He's had phenomenal success in getting kids ready for the EOC and getting kids ready for college and teaching these college classes that he's teaching now. And his excellence is manifested for everybody to see, in that his value-added scores are out the roof. I mean, his test scores have just been excellent. So he teaches dual enrollment math classes, like pre-cal, college algebra, and stats, and those kind of things. And he has taught computer app courses and done a lot of that. And on top of all of that, he's been a huge supporter for our Christian clubs, and that's what I've been very, very thankful for. So this year he's helped me with the Veritas Club in the first semester by sharing some of his knowledge of the creation-evolution debate. He's a strong follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a deacon at New Providence Baptist Church, works with the youth out there some. He's a husband and father. His wife Tia is an elementary school teacher in our district. And he's got two wonderful kids, Hunter, who will be in the 8th grade next year, and Cadence will be in the 2nd grade next year, so they're coming along great. And I can tell you now that Stephen's going to be co-sponsoring with Mitchell Witt the Veritas Club at Tellico next year in my place as I begin my retirement years. We'll come back to that in just a minute. So, Stephen, it's good to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Brother Hall. You shell-shocked me somewhat with your admiration and spilling of the good stuff there. But I don't take credit for any of that. I give God the glory for all that I do, because without Him, I'd be nothing, for yeah. sure. And I look forward to moving on and enjoying the Veritas Club as a leader of that. But I'm definitely going to miss your presence, because you've been an inspiration and a driving component throughout my career to not just excel in math, but also to, you know, grow my spiritual life, and I appreciate you for that.
Well, I appreciate you saying all that, and obviously all the glory goes to the Lord. You're right, that's good. But He's definitely using you, brother, so just be thankful. I'm amazed and thrilled. Well, let's start by talking about your relationship to Christ. How did you get started in your relationship? When did you first trust Christ? And kind of give us a little bit of testimony there about your early life.
Well, I grew up in church. We never missed a service as a kid. I don't remember doing anything but church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible school, revival. We were there all the time. And I remember struggling at a young age with, you know, fear and anxiety. I had a terrible time, you know, at night. I was just dreadful of going to bed and, you know, going to sleep. And I remember sitting down, and Dad came in one night and said, "Stephen, let's just talk for a while." And, you know, it didn't take long for, you know, him hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. You know, I was under conviction, and I was scared of dying, and, you know, I was saved right there in my bedroom.
How old were you then?
I'm pretty sure I was around 9.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure on the date, but it was an amazing experience. Not always lived the way I should have. And I've done things that I shouldn't have done, of course, and I've failed Him miserably from time to time. But He has continued to mold me and shape me and keep working on me. And,
amen.
And I am very grateful to Him for what I've been through and what I've learned along the way.
Yeah. And He's let you go through some pretty difficult times, too. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I know you've been through some pretty severe fiery trials in your time.
I have. When I left high school and went to college my first semester, I finished up the semester, came home for Christmas break, and was dreadfully sick for 2 weeks, just terribly, terribly sick. Went to the doctor and found out I had ulcerative colitis. Tried different medicines off and on for about 7-8 months, and finally the medicines never would just completely put it into remission. I'd get down to a low dose and then flare up again. And the doctors gave me the option of having surgery to remove the diseased portion, and I chose to do that and felt great for a little while. Had some other side effects, I would suppose, along with the surgery. I wound up being quite sick again with pancreatitis and kidney stone, and wound up having to delay my secondary portion of the surgery. I spent my birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all in the hospital in one stay. But it was during that time that, you know, the Lord really spoke to me and showed me my life's direction, because I didn't know what I really wanted to be. Everybody told me I'd be a good chemical engineer, so that's what I went to school for. But it was during that time that I remember laying in the hospital bed at UT, and the Lord just flat out yelled at me, "Stephen, you need to teach math."
Wow.
And I have no doubts that that's my calling in life, and I've thoroughly enjoyed and don't regret that decision at all. And I also give, you know, credit there. Had I not been sick, and I went to Tech to begin with, but that sickness brought me back home, and I went on to Hiwassee, and that's where I met my beautiful wife,
Tia. Wow.
So, I mean, the Lord has a plan out there, and sometimes it's hard to wrap our little weak brains around it.
Yeah.
But he has a beautiful plan in place.
Yeah, it seems like every time we go through those fiery trials, we go into it thinking, what on earth is happening? And we're terrified. And, oh, no. And then we look back on it and realize, whoa, God was doing something here.
Absolutely.
That's just incredible. And, you know, I'm sure you might have made a lot more money as a chemical engineer, but you couldn't have had nearly the satisfaction you've had working with these kids through the years.
Right. There's no way.
Yeah. Did the Lord use anybody else in your life? I mean, you mentioned your dad, you know, leading you to Christ. Was there anybody else that you would say was a pretty significant spiritual figure in your life other than your dad?
No, I don't think I had any major flagships. I had a legacy with Preacher James
and
Papaw Patton. And my uncles and cousins have all been in ministry. So, there's a legacy there that kind of kept it close and kept it at home. I had a few good influences in Sunday school at New Providence.
Did you grow up in New Providence Church?
That's the only church I've ever known.
Wow, that's unusual these days.
Yeah, I've always been a member there.
Now, you're a math teacher, and you were thinking about going into chemical engineering, so you were always good at math. So was that pretty much from the beginning? You just excelled in math all along, and you were pretty much headed in that direction from the beginning, or was there ever anything else?
Well, as my wife so quickly states, my memory of grade school is pretty skeptical. I don't remember things like very much. There are a few events maybe I remember from each grade level. But growing up through third, fourth grade, no thoughts ever entered my mind. And then, I think it was fifth grade, I was invited to go to the math contest. First time I ever did any kind of competition. And I didn't do great. I might have been seventh place or something. But it kind of sparked an interest. And then when I hit junior high, I became a true math nerd. I loved math and I loved learning as much as I could with it. And, you know, I improved a little with the math contest and got third and first, I think, for sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Right.
So that was an awesome blessing. And then high school, I just loved math altogether.
Yeah.
And I have no problems admitting I love math, and I'm a complete nerd when it comes to
it. Well, I know when it comes to statistics, you eat it up, man. You can live that stuff. That's amazing to me how you can get into that stuff and get absorbed by it. You know, you've done a great job, and you've been a blessing to the school that way, you know, keeping all of us aware of what's going on. Now, when you decided to become a teacher, you know, that was when the Lord got your attention when you were sick. Was there a human being involved there, or was it just you and the Lord?
No, at that moment, it was just me and the Lord. Now, Donna Lynn will take credit for putting that bug in my ear when I was in high school. That's a wonderful story. She'll tell it much better than I do. But as a junior, I was in her geometry class, and I'd already had Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, and then took geometry as a junior. And the math was, you know, a piece of cake.
And
I wound up helping other students in there. And and enjoyed it.
And which caused you to learn even more. You solidified it in your brain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she told me one day, Stephen, you would make a great math teacher. And I just laughed in her face. And I told her, no way I'd ever teach math.
Yeah.
And it's funny how the Lord works those things out.
Yeah. So now you've been a math teacher. Let's say you taught before you came to the high school.
Just one semester at the junior high.
Okay. So total of 12 years?
12 years.
Okay. And what kind of changes do you see going on as far as that's concerned? Do you want to react to that at all in terms of math teaching and the profession itself? Or?
Well, the math itself's not going to change a whole lot. 1 + 1 = 2, and mm-hmm. I don't foresee anything like that changing.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of systems trying to, you know, take over with the Common Core, for example, mm-hmm. and there are some uncertainties for how those things will be tested and what exactly is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, you know, regardless of what they do, the math's going
math
to be
is
the
math,
same.
Math is math, algebra is algebra.
Yeah, you know. I mean, there's not too many different ways that, you know, I can teach how to solve a system of equations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too afraid of those changes on the horizon.
Yeah. It just seems to me sometimes that we get ourselves, I know I get myself twisted in knots almost, trying to jump through the hoops that I perceive are being put out there. And I think, what is the point of this? You know, I mean, you're right. Math doesn't change. You know, we're teaching essentially the same kind of things. And yet, we've got different kinds of tests, different kinds of ways we're supposed to teach, different things we're supposed to emphasize. And it seems like that changes every 2 or 3 years. That's going to go through a change based on what somebody in Nashville or somewhere decides is what we need to emphasize. I guess now with Common Core on a federal level more. But I don't know, that troubles me, but you're young and you adapt maybe better than I do. Do you feel like there's some, you know, when you look at just education in general, do you feel like anything's that is getting better, getting worse, about the same as far as American education is concerned? You have any concerns there?
I really haven't put too much effort into that thought. There are times when I wonder if we've let down the system altogether and trying to get everyone to be proficient.
Mm.
We're having to drop the levels in order to get everybody up to that proficient mark.
Mm.
So sometimes I wonder if we may fail the kids in truly learning the values of education as opposed to just getting them through the system.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I identify with that 100%. You know, we've talked some about that. But as far as you're concerned, Lord willing, you're going to be teaching as long into the future as you can see, right?
I mean, right now, my plan is to retire as a math teacher at Tellico Plains High School.
Mm.
Granted, retiring may be carrying me out of there. I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
What kind of counsel would you give younger teachers right now if you had somebody, a younger teacher, who said, okay, I'm thinking about going into the teaching profession, or I am going into the teaching profession, give me some advice. Would you have anything you'd share with them?
One, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
No, seriously. To be able to adapt, be able to change, and most importantly, do the best that you can regardless of your situation or placement.
Yeah.
And be patient and just, you know, do the best you can along the way.
Yeah. What about Christian teachers? My impression is we're living in a time when it's getting a little bit tougher for Christian teachers, at least in some places. You have any counsel you'd offer Christian teachers in particular?
Don't be afraid to let people know you're a Christian. Maybe you may not be able to go out and proclaim the name of Jesus up and down the hallways, but you can live your life and you can teach as God would have you to and exemplify Him, give Him the credit for all. And your classmate or your fellow teachers, your students, they'll see Jesus coming through you.
That's good.
So, I mean, you don't have to hide Him in a closet while you're at work.
Amen.
You can still exemplify Him
and
let Him show through your walk and through your teaching.
Yeah. Great word, because I think there are some organizations out there, I would call them more liberal organizations, more secular organizations. maybe they wouldn't say these words, but they like teachers to think that, okay, as long as you're in the school system, you're supposed to act like a secularist. And they call that neutrality. Burns me up because there's no such thing as neutrality. I mean, everybody's got a worldview. And when they try to force teachers, if not explicitly, at least implicitly, kind of imply you're supposed to leave your Christianity at the door. You can't bring it in here. You're supposed to act like a secularist when you're here. It's like saying they've got a worldview and they control the schools with this worldview and they don't want the Christians messing with it. And I'm with you 100%. I think a Christian teacher has to say, I'm a Christian, period. Whether I'm at school or whether I'm at home or wherever I am, I'm a Christian. And I want to represent Jesus the best I know how. And I know you do that. And I'm just thrilled that God's raising up Christian teachers. I've been finding some in other school systems lately, and it's just exciting to know that there are some godly Christian teachers out there that are doing their best to represent Jesus in the classroom. Mm-hmm. What about Christian students? Do you have any, I mean, I'm talking about high school students, any recommendation or counsel for them?
I would think one of my biggest regrets as a Christian student back in high school is not being more vocal, not being more involved, you know, just kind of sitting on the sidelines. Sure, I didn't get into much of the things going on at the time, but I wasn't actively participating in representing Christ in my walk. So that I would encourage them to set aside a prayer time, set aside Bible reading time, go participate in the club activities.
Yeah.
Whenever you get the opportunity, you know, try to make a commitment to be there and be a leader in them if at all possible.
Yeah, that's good. And of course, one of the things I would encourage students to do as well is examine themselves, because we got a lot of kids who go to church and assume they're Christians, but their life's not really all about Jesus, and it's time for them to reevaluate. Say, wait a minute, have I really put my faith in Christ? Is this what my life's all about? Because some of them need to find Christ even though they've been in church.
Right.
Now, you're going to be helping Witt lead the Veritas Club next year. And I really appreciate that. Would you please talk about that just a little bit? How you came to decide, yeah, I'm willing to do this, and what you think about the Veritas Club and why it's important to you? And
Well, I kind of feel like I was railroaded into it.
Now, wait a minute.
Of course, that would be edited, but I thought that'd be a good time to get my opinion out. I think there's a great need for students to be able to defend what they believe in, especially, I mean, even more so now. When I was a student and went off to college, I didn't face much ridicule, or I didn't have to defend myself specifically in the courses that I was a part of, but I didn't, you know, spend too much time in large secular universities either. Mm-hmm. But even the more Christian-based schools are becoming more and more offensive and, you know, flat-out refusing to believe in God and challenging youth in their beliefs and just molding and shaping them, you know, into the secularist and just totally sideswiping the faith that they thought they had as children and as students in high school. So the Veritas Club is definitely a good tool for making the students think about why they believe what they believe, not just, well, I believe it because that's what I've always been taught. Mm-hmm. I believe it because my daddy believes it. Mm-hmm. I believe it because my church believes it. But to really sit down and say, why is it that I believe this? And then have, you know, some reasons to go and say, well, look, you know, the history books, there are historical artifacts all across the nation, the world, that point to different parts of the Bible being true, that point to Christ being resurrected. You know, there are facts out there that can be explored and used to solidify your faith even more. So Veritas is a great tool to do that. So in that light, you know, I'm honored and, you know, obligated to share that information with future students as they go through and prepare for college also.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we can stir it up among the kids to realize what the need is. I'm afraid that we have a lot of parents and churches even who just aren't quite aware of how severe the challenge is going to be for some of these kids. I mean, these worldview challenges, these philosophical challenges, and these tough, tough questions that can be thrown at them, if we don't really get them prepared for that, it just blows them away sometimes. Right. I mean, and I'm not saying they lose their salvation. I don't believe in that, but I do believe that they can get knocked out of the battle,
right,
and sometimes stay out for years because they just got intimidated and overwhelmed. So I'm so thankful for you and Whit being willing to get in there and lead this thing next year. And, of course, I want to be there, too, just to encourage and cheer you guys on. I'll be a cheerleader next year. But I'm excited about it. Well, brother, I know you're a fan of short podcasts.
Amen.
That goes back a ways, too. And there's a little insider joke to that, I guess. But this has been kind of brief, but there's nothing else on your heart right now that you feel like we need to talk about. So I want to thank you for being willing to share these few minutes with us and give us a little bit more insight into yourself and what God's done in your life and what He's going to be doing and what He's what He's doing now. So I just want to say, so everybody can hear it, I am so thankful that God brought you into my life, because you have been an incredible blessing to me through the years. I don't know how I would have survived like I did without your help, because you've kept me informed about a lot of stuff. And when the state would come in with the new changes, you'd say, okay, this is what this means, and you'd kind of interpret it for me and help me through it. So I'm just so thankful for that. So thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Let's have a word of prayer before we go, okay? Lord, I thank you so much for Stephen Patton. And I thank you for his testimony. I thank you for his love for you. I thank you for his love for the kids. I thank you for his love for your truth, and I thank you for the way you've used him in the lives of so many people over these past years. I thank you for bringing him through that crisis that you brought him through with his health so many years ago, and the way you used that to get him in touch with his wife and also get him in touch with his future and the plan you had for him. And we look back on that and give you praise for a very difficult time. Lord, I know there are others going through difficult times even now, and sometime they'll be looking back on this and giving you praise. So help them to keep their perspective and help them to keep their eyes on you through these difficult days. Father, I pray for the Veritas Club for next year. I pray for Stephen. I pray for Mitchell Witt, and I pray that you'd help them both to communicate well with these kids and help these kids get stronger in you and be able to give an answer to anyone who might ask them a reason concerning the hope that is within them. And to give these kids strength to stand when those tough, tough questions come from secularist worldviews. I just pray you'd use him in a more powerful way than ever in upcoming years. So thank you so much for this time. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and being patient with us. Thank you for being an awesome God. We love you and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.